Hi, friends and listeners. Welcome to the show. You're listening to What's Wellness Podcast. I'm your host, Alia from Alia Yoga. All of the episodes for this podcast will pertain in various ways to your well-being and relationships with yourself, with one another, and with the planet. I talk about individual and also universal principles of wellness. I share wellness journeys, stories, and practices that connect with physical, mental, energetic, emotional, and spiritual well-being. I'm not a doctor. I'm a yoga teacher, a spin instructor, and a former world-ranked professional tandem surfer. I love to infuse yoga philosophy, breath awareness techniques, mindfulness, and an understanding of how different practices intertwine with your wellness experience, from meditation to physical movement, how you fuel your body, and also how you rest and recover. These principles all tie into the whole and relate to your well-being. So thank you once again for being here today, and we'll get started right away with the warm words of the week. Today's warm words of the week come from my very own Aunt Cindy. Aunt Cindy says, "Hi, Alia. I listened to your new podcast intro and loved it. The positive energy is beautiful. I am very excited that you are sharing your knowledge and expertise with the public in this format. Some highlights for me personally were speaking up for oneself, mindfulness, get out of our standard daily routines. Yoga translates into our lives off the mat. Deep breathing is the unification process of our minds, bodies, and the essence of our spirit, and become grounded. Thanks for investing your time, energy, and vast knowledge with your audience. It's going to make a difference in many lives. Love, hugs, and kisses, Cindy, Alia's aunt in Arizona." Oh, Aunt Cindy, thank you so much. I do hope it makes a positive impact in people's lives. That is the purpose behind the podcast. And thank you so much for your support and all of your love, not only at this time, but throughout my entire life. You've always been a beacon of light and encouragement and support. I love you so much and really appreciate you taking the time to listen to these episodes and also to leave those very warm words. I'm feeling your love. Thank you once again. If you'd like your warm words read on air, please leave a rating and review in the iTunes podcast app. I really appreciate your reviews and ratings and love receiving them from you, so thank you in advance. And if this is your first time tuning in to What's Wellness with Alia Yoga, welcome and thank you for finding me here. It's wonderful to be able to connect with you in this way. And if you've been tuning in and following along, thank you so much for your ongoing support. I hope you're enjoying and learning something from these episodes, as they're definitely a labor of love with the intention to make a positive impact and continue to be of service to the community. In addition, I'd love to be interactive with you, and if there are topics you want covered, questions you want answered, or if you have a wellness story or information you'd like to share, please get in touch with me. My email is alia@aliayoga.com, spelled A-H-L-I-A. I've been doing a lot of interviews, and they're so inspiring. I really enjoy doing solo casts as well. So today will be an informational episode from my years of teaching yoga and leading teacher trainings. I love to connect yoga philosophy to everyday life and how we can implement some simple mindfulness practices and awareness for more wellness on all levels. Today, I will talk about the eight limbs of yoga and hone in on the first limb, with information on how this philosophy pertains to your daily life in the present. I'll continue to sprinkle in a deeper dive on the other seven limbs as well, so stay tuned and keep your eye out for future episodes on the additional limbs. I'll be right back after this quick break with information on the eight limbs of yoga. Alrighty, welcome back. I'll get started with an overview of the eight-limbed yogic path. Yoga, as we know of it today, in the West especially, is typically a focus on the physical practice, the yoga poses, or the asanas, as they're called in Sanskrit. However, yoga asana, the physical postures, are just one limb out of the eight limbs of yoga, so one eighth of what encompasses the yogic path. The first limb in yoga philosophy is called the yamas. These are restraints or applications for how you behave towards others and can also be applied and reflected back to how you treat yourself. There are five yamas listed in the Yoga Sutras, and I'll explain the five yamas in a moment. But first, the second limb of yoga philosophy, the niyamas. There are also five niyamas, and they are observances or applications for specific and personal conduct, so how you treat yourself. And then the third limb of yoga is what you've experienced predominantly if you are a yoga practitioner, and that's the practice of asana, the physical postures. This is what you do on your yoga mat, either at home with the many variety of classes now online, or in a yoga studio or gym setting. There are various forms and styles of asana practice and different variations as well. So it's important as a yoga practitioner to discover which style of practice most resonates with you and facilitates a mind-body-spirit connection that is supportive for where you are presently and the direction that you are choosing to take your practice. You may also be familiar with or have practiced the fourth limb of yoga called pranayama in Sanskrit, and that's the ability to focus on and control, even move, life force energy or prana. This is a practice that harnesses awareness to your breath. There are various pranayama practices and techniques that can energize or calm you down, help you to relieve tension, and also detoxify your body and your energy. Now, the fifth limb of yoga is called pratyahara in Sanskrit, and in English, it's learning to withdraw the senses and begin to focus your awareness inwards, which leads you to the sixth limb, dharana, which is also a sensory withdrawal, but really more of a single point of focus. It's concentration that takes some effort. Followed by limb number seven, dhyana, which we know of as meditation. And meditation is concentration that does not require focus or effort. Once you're in a state of meditation, you no longer realize that you're necessarily meditating. It's this awareness that doesn't take any effort or control. Finally, limb number eight, called samadhi, which is the experience of non-duality, or the connection of yourself with your higher self or with the divine. In yoga philosophy, this is a state of bliss, and whatever your spiritual practices are, this is connecting with the higher energy, with God or the universe, with that which is greater than ourselves. Having discussed very briefly all eight limbs, I'll now go into the first limb of yoga in much more depth. And in future episodes, as I mentioned, I'll give more information on the other seven limbs of yoga. Yama is the first limb. There are five of these, the restraints or applications for how you behave towards others. The first yama is ahimsa. Ahimsa is the Sanskrit word, and in English it means non-violence. It's this concept of minimizing the harm that you may cause others and also towards yourself, both in thought, word, and deed or action. Ahimsa is becoming aware of the ways you yourself may contribute to the suffering or harm of others on the planet. From judgment or a not-so-open mind, there is an opportunity to practice becoming aware of how your thoughts and actions impact others and the planet. Nonviolence can be looked at as, I'm not going to hurt someone or cause harm to someone or to myself physically, but also mentally, emotionally, and even energetically. Practicing nonviolence and applying this practice also to the planet and to nature. We are living in a time where there is a lot of division and separation, disagreements. I've noticed in my life that there's a big polarization with humans right now, and if we disagree, it's challenging to be accepting of another person's view or opinions. I know it's difficult when we're passionate about our views and opinions, but this is a great place to practice ahimsa and focus on how we can come together rather than drift further apart. The second yama in Sanskrit is pronounced satya, and in English it means truthfulness. It's honesty, and honesty is important in your communication as well as in your actions. Words and behaviors that are all in alignment with one another is what happens when you are practicing satya. So if you think one thing and do something else, that is a clear indication that satya or truthfulness is lacking or a lack of integrity. It's also important to be nonviolent when you're practicing truthfulness. So ahimsa and satya can go hand in hand. Be honest in the most constructive and also compassionate and kind way possible. This is really important to me. I believe in kind, honest, clear communication, and radical transparency. Say what you mean what you say, and follow it up with your action. But there's definitely a process to this that takes having a step back in order to find a moment for yourself to reflect on what's really happening for you on an emotional level. When you pause for reflection and take time and a step back from challenging circumstances to turn your awareness inwards and acknowledge your emotions, when you take some time to process how you're feeling and focus on what emotions are coming up for you before you communicate, you can then proceed to communicate clearly and kindly. That's being responsive rather than reactive, and more than likely, a better result will come from that communication. This process facilitates an opportunity for you to get your point across from a place of clear understanding rather than blame or pointing a finger of judgment or hurt. And if you can explain your feelings to someone, it's important to use I statements. For example, I feel challenged when I'm not being openly communicated with or feel like information is being withheld on purpose, and it makes me feel unimportant or out of the loop. In the future, can we please have more open, honest communication so I can feel included? Another example, perhaps, I feel triggered when something is taken from me without being asked permission, and it makes me feel like my personal property is not being valued. In the future, can you please ask permission from me first before you take something that doesn't belong to you? Thank you. That way you're able to express the emotion and feeling and share what is on your mind and in your heart, coming from a place of kindness, openness, and compassion, followed by a constructive suggestion for what can be done in the future to move forward from this communication in a constructive way. Moving on to the third yama, remember there are five. Yama number three is ashteya. Ashteya is the Sanskrit word for non-stealing, and it's the respect not only of objects, like I'm not going to steal your belongings, but it's also non-stealing of someone's time and also energy, being respectful of other people. It's easy to recognize when to practice Ashteya towards others. Simply do not take what doesn't belong to you, but also to be responsible for your energy and respectful of your time and other people's time as well. To me, Ashteya has to do a lot with setting boundaries as well, and for some, remembering to accept help from others. Be open to receive what is rightfully given to you. This is an important practice of Ashteya, and knowing, honoring your value and self-worth so that other people respect your boundaries and don't steal your time or your value. Moving on to yama number 4, in Sanskrit, the word is brahmacharya. Brahmacharya is this really interesting yama because it's a physical but also energetic and purposeful practice of moderation. This takes self-discipline. It's the idea of not overindulging. So everything in moderation, including moderation. This may be a yama that is especially resonant for some right now, as you may be at home much more than usual because of the social and physical distancing and the quarantine that we have all been experiencing. It can be easy to overindulge in things like food, sex, and material objects, as well as screen time, watching more movies, TV, and scrolling through social media. Rather than overindulgence, brahmacharya talks about purposeful moderation, even moderation in the consumption of material objects, because all of this can lead to an energy of obsession, and obsession leads to the loss of focus, especially on what is truly important in life. Specifically, brahmacharya refers to sexual moderation, so that sex does not interfere with your focus and your connection with your higher self and with God or with the divine. It doesn't say to refrain from sex. That's not what we're talking about here. It's just about not letting sex overcome your thoughts, overcome your actions, and without overindulgence or obsessiveness. It's finding that beautiful balance where sex is an expression of and connection to creative energy with your partner, an experience of expressing your love rather than an obsessive act or a means of power or control. A reminder, everything in moderation, including moderation, and also to be faithful and loyal, both to yourself and in your relationships. I want to talk for a moment about the idea of self-partnership. This is something that I talked about before on the podcast and actively did for a couple of years. This was way before I met my husband. I took this time and partnered with myself, meaning I stopped dating men and started dating myself. It was a time where I really got to know Alia on a much deeper level, and I would take myself out to concerts and out to eat. I also traveled alone. I went wherever I wanted to, and I did whatever I wanted to do. At first, it was strange and difficult at times because of my own self-doubt and feeling self-conscious. But anytime I didn't want to be alone when I was out and about by myself, I would find the courage to strike up a conversation with someone nearby, and it was always easier than I expected or made it up to be in my mind. I thought I would be judged, and I find that oftentimes the anticipation of something is much more difficult than actually going through the experience that is being anticipated. So this was a huge learning opportunity for me to identify and overcome a lot of fear. I felt self-conscious at first, especially going out to eat by myself. I always thought people would look at me and wonder, what's wrong with that person? Why is she alone? And in fact, I had the opposite experience quite frequently. I would be approached by people and conversations would be started. I also had people say, hey, it's great to see a confident individual out by herself, being present and enjoying the moment. These comments came because I wasn't buried in my phone or in a book. I was really mindful and present. I wanted to fully experience the moment and take it all in, even if it was uncomfortable. I practiced leaning into that discomfort, and so much growth came from that. Moving on to the fifth yama. The fifth yama is aparigraha. This is the Sanskrit word for non-hoarding. It's important to be aware of needs versus wants and to recognize when you can take less and give more. Be fair so that there is enough for everyone. And if there is something you can share of or let go of to make space or to help someone else, then practice some non-attachment and letting go. This is relinquishing attachments or expectation to objects and to outcomes. It's the becoming aware of any materialistic tendencies and refocusing the amount of consumption, the amount of attachment that we have to certain objects and desires. This takes practice, of course, and focusing on our needs rather than our wants. Aparigraha really requires some balance in one's life and thinking about others even more than oneself. My husband Josh is a great example of a person who practices aparigraha. He inspires me to be better at this as well, because regularly Josh will donate clothes to the Salvation Army or to Goodwill, and anytime we get something new, we donate the item it's replacing. He's great at creating space and doesn't feel required to fill the space or void unless there is something that he truly needs. Aparigraha is as much about letting go and creating space as it is about less consumption for the sake of consumption. One of my favorite takeaways from the principles of aparigraha is the idea of spending money more on experiences and less on things or material objects that can just collect and we frequently lose interest rather quickly. A great practice to go through your home or closet and get rid of anything that no longer brings you joy. Donating to those less fortunate is also a great way for making space and practicing aparigraha, and it feels so good to help others. When you make that space, it's up to you whether or not you fill the space that you've made right away, or it's totally okay to leave that space empty. I connect this back to practicing yoga on the mat, yoga asana. From this standpoint, the physical postures make space in your body and in your mind and in your heart. It's then up to you whether you fill that space you've created, hopefully with something positive or healing, uplifting and inspiring, or allow yourself to stay empty. And that, of course, will be temporary, but it's such a beautiful practice for letting go of what no longer serves you. So let's do a brief summary of the yamas, the first limb of yoga. Ahimsa, meaning non-violence towards others and also towards yourself. Satya means truthfulness, honesty, integrity, again, towards others and towards yourself. Ashteya, non-stealing of objects and property, of course, but also time and energy. If you've ever experienced someone who's an energy vampire or who takes more time than you have to offer in that moment, that's someone who could use a little bit of an understanding of Ashteya and non-stealing in this philosophical standpoint. And then Brahmacharya, purposeful moderation. And you may be overindulging right now, and that's okay, but bring some mindfulness to it and perhaps choose something different tomorrow. Finally, aparigraha, non-hoarding, becoming aware of your needs versus your wants. So those five yamas encompass limb number one. And in the future, I'll do episodes about the second limb, the niyamas. There are five of those as well. And then I'll continue to share more about the other six limbs that encompass the eight limbs of yoga. If you have any questions, comments, requests, concerns, feedback, or if you need support in any way, please get in touch with me. My email again is alia@aliayoga.com, spelled A-H-L-I-A. If something stood out to you from today's episode, do me a huge favor, please. Take a screenshot and share it on your social media. Tag @whatswellnesspodcast and @aliayoga on Instagram, and I'll be sure to reshare. If I can ask you another huge favor, please subscribe to this podcast, share it with your friends and family, help to spread the word about What's Wellness Podcast, and leave a review in the iTunes podcast store to have money donated on your behalf to the Rob Machado Foundation and your warm words read on air. If you enjoy online yoga classes and home workouts, as well as guided meditations, find Alia Yoga on YouTube. And for more about what I offer, go to aliayoga.com. One thing I'm really grateful for is the fusion of yoga philosophy with my personal spiritual practices. You may know this already about me, you may not. I'm a Christian person and I come from a Jewish family. I believe the teachings from Jesus are universal, and many principles that I've learned in yoga philosophy connect with my Christian beliefs as well. I share this because we may not have the same beliefs and we may not agree on all the things, but in the spirit of ahimsa, I respect and appreciate our commonalities and also our differences. I feel so grateful to be able to connect with you in this way. So thank you once again for tuning in to What's Wellness. I'll be back again next Thursday with a brand new episode for you. Until then, be well. We'll be right back.